Bulimia sucks, but you don't, and here's why. The Bulimia Sucks podcast with Kate Hudson Hall will teach you how to begin breaking through the multitude of thoughts, feelings, triggers, and urges to empower yourself to change your painful behaviors completely. You will hear proven strategies and solutions to help you in your recovery, including real interviews with real people. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon. And now, another episode of Bulimia Sucks, the podcast.
Hello, my name is Kate Hudson Hall, and thank you for listening to Bulimia Sucks, because we know it does. And these are real stories from people who are suffering or have suffered an eating disorder. It's a platform for people to share relatable and uplifting and inspiring conversations based on bulimia and anorexia and other eating disorders. And episodes will include their personal stories of where they are now and their difficult journeys and their steps taken into recovering from their eating disorder, and also to professionals who work with people with eating disorders. Now, our guest today is Sherry Williams. Sherry joined us in the last episode, and this is part two of my chat with Sherry. Now, Sherry is the heir to the Maybelline legacy and is Tom Lyle Williams' great niece. She is an award-winning speaker, celebrity columnist, and the author of The Maybelline Story, guiding her readers through the birth of the Maybelline Empire, revealing intimate and never before told details about the fascinating family dynasty. And Sherry has her second book coming out in 2022 called Maybelline, Out of the Ashes. So listen on to find out what happened after Sherry's grandmother, Miss Maybelline, was murdered, and how Sherry finally learned to understand who she was inside and stop that craziness of thinking who she had to be loved. And also how Sherry achieved her degree in true wisdom. Here we go.
And so life was beginning to give me all of these things that created a spiritual awakening, or you die. You have a choice now. You can continue on the path that you've been on your whole life.
Yeah.
And that will lead to some kind of death.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have a spiritual awakening and change. Mm-hmm. Because you can't keep going on. You're going to go into depression and just kill yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when these things began to happen, I just sought out more support. I started getting into group therapy with psychologists. I finally went to school and got my education, got my degree in psychology. Everything I did was to try to understand and get in touch with the voice of who I was inside and stop the craziness of who I had to be loved.
Yeah.
So yeah. I wrote the book, and the book was published. Now they want me to write my life story, which is kind of what I'm talking about a little bit here. And then as I began to heal, my eating began to make better choices. That's right. What recovery did for me was it wasn't doing what I had to do because the magazine said that, or Nana would say that, or my husband would want that. It was me really thinking about it and going, this would be a better choice than this. So I am going to choose this. So that began to put me on a different path.
Yeah.
You know, a better path that would lead me to a place I could never take myself with what was going on with the other Sherry. Hmm. And then all so many good things started happening. Yes, Gene divorced me and he married another girl, but I got my degree, which was so fabulous.
That's amazing.
It was so wonderful. I walked, you know, with a cap and gown, and
yeah.
So great. And then I was mother of the bride for my daughter. And here I was completely stable and normal. We had three wedding showers for her. Her wedding was in Arizona, and I was able to get all of the California friends and relatives to go, you know, through letters and talking and being normal.
Yeah.
Created a perfect, wonderful mother of the bride for Georgia. And then, I forgot to tell you, my house burnt down.
Your house?
That was part of all the spiritual awakening. So I lost 1993 in Laguna Beach. 400 homes burned down. It was a firestorm. I was at school, and so I wasn't home. So I lost 35 picture albums and all the china and crystal. The divorce had just been final for 6 weeks when the house burnt down, and all the identity of being a lawyer's wife, this princess, it all went. And I began then to have to find out who I was. The beautiful part was when I rebuilt the house, my dad stepped in and had my back like never before in my life.
Wow.
And he showed me that he loved me unconditionally. And the two of us together for 2.5 years rebuilt that house.
Oh, wow.
And when I finally moved in there, I spent the rest of before he then I built the house in, I guess it moved in 96. He died 20 years later. For those years, I created a family for him where he could come and he too could have a safe haven. He could feel the love. He too was not being rejected. I was able to instill into it my dad what he didn't have as a child and turn to drink and everything else.
So had he stopped drinking by that time?
No, he never stopped drinking. But he wasn't as abusive as he used to be.
Well,
he used
probably
to say,
because
I was so abusive to Sherry. He was very abusive to me, but she loves me the most. And I did love him the most because from going to the meetings, I began to realize my parents' childhoods. Okay, my father was raised by the founder of the Maybelline Company. And my mother, her father was a pioneer moving picture maker at MGM Studios since the silent film days.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons I was so kind of stilted in reality, because I had all the props and MGM and my mother had known, you know, all the actresses. She was supposed to be an actress, but then she got in a head-on collision and destroyed her leg and she was crippled. But, you know, she'd learn to walk eventually. My dad, growing up at the Villa Valentina, so they were warped. They were like me. They didn't have any real reality outside MGM, outside of Maybelline.
Yeah.
Those were the parents that created this. I was more like a doll, you know, to play with than a real person. And so I didn't blame them. I totally understood and had compassion for them. And that love I was able to give my parents, both of them, until they died. Because I finally understood and loved who they were inside.
Yeah,
I tell you, recovery was the greatest thing. The support that I got in recovery for all those years. It's just, if anyone has an eating disorder or any kind of addiction, you cannot get out of that without support.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have people love you till you can love yourself.
Yeah. What an incredible journey.
it's been good. And now,
Sherry, what do you feel was the hardest part for you of that journey?
Well, keep going. It was so hard because you start to get on your feet, right? And you take a step and you start going, and then life has a way of coming in and smashing you back down. And then you have to have the courage to get up again, right? And
when the recovery,
and you have to believe and you have to have faith, you know, you have to have faith in a power greater than yourself. And because you don't understand when all these bad things happen. You know, my grandmother, what happened to her was hideous, burned beyond recognition. Beautiful Nana, and my house burning down, and my mother becoming completely bipolar and winding up in an institution and dying that way. And just all the things that it's like, the more you try to want to come out of the addiction, the more life seems to test you to see if you really are serious. Yeah. And I think that was the hardest part, is to believe and to go back to square one, get back into meetings. The other thing that I do right now that's really helping me, have you ever heard of tapping?
Oh, the tapping. I teach that.
Yes. Oh, you do? Oh my gosh, that
emotion, the emotional freedom technique. Oh yeah.
That's it. Have you heard of Brad Yates? Okay, well, he's on YouTube, and that's where I go to get my tapping. But as soon as I start to have that overwhelmed feeling, you know, where my life feels really unmanageable, and I will go in and tap for a half an hour.
I love it.
And you say these positive things, and you hit these zones, you know, under the arm and top. And you do this for 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. And by the time I'm done, I can't even remember. I'm so like...
So for people that are listening, if they don't know what we're talking about something called emotional freedom technique. And it was developed in the 1990s by somebody called Gary Craig. And he found that if you tap on a specific routine of points while thinking about any negative feeling that you have, you can reduce that feeling down. And it sounds completely bizarre. And it is, but it works. And it's they call it, it's like acupuncture, but without the needles. So you're tapping on meridian channels. So it's connected to your body's energy. So when somebody has a problem, there's a blockage in the energy. So by tapping on this routine of points, you can unblock the energy. And it's an amazing therapy.
Mm-hmm. And you just can't imagine that it would work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
One of my favorite ones is tapping for a miracle.
Right.
And you think, okay. And then unbelievable things happen. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you open up more. So you're more willing to accept, you know, the good that it wants to come into your life. I don't know what it is, but I swear, I think that wonderful things happen. Or I tap for having a wonderful day. And then the day is wonderful. So that's my new favorite thing right now is tapping.
Oh, yes, yes. I just love it. That was developed in, because it originated from somebody called Roger Callahan in the 1980s. And he found that if you tap on a specific point while thinking about a specific negative feeling, you can reduce that feeling down. So that it's quite complicated, and that's called thought feel therapy. And it's quite complicated because there's lots of different points that are all connected to different feelings. So you have to learn all of it. But with the emotional freedom technique, you just learn this one routine of points, and then you can tap on any negative feeling or any physical problem that you have, and you can reduce that down.
Right. And then I was watching another tapping person, and he said, if you're someplace where you can't, you know, look like an idiot tapping, he goes, just think about the tap. Think about that you're hitting your head. Think about that you're hitting the side of your eye here. You know, think about it. And that will also help you like to let go.
Yeah.
So you can take the tapping with you everywhere.
Yeah. And the specific point for anxiety is in the collarbone. That's the specific point. So if you were in a situation where you didn't want to physically tap, you could actually just rub the area on the outside of that collarbone. You could just rub the area, and that will work the same. Nobody would know what you were doing. So you can reduce.
Okay, so it's just comforting. It just calms you down.
Well, it's the point for anxiety. So it would help to reduce. Yeah,
even doing it right now, it's very calming.
Yeah, and I love this point. Because it's, I don't know, I could just feel my whole body go, ooh, and kind of relax. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We think everybody...
Yeah, you don't need a drink. You can just...
Yeah. We think that everybody should go and learn the emotional freedom technique. That's what Sherry and I are both advising. Go onto YouTube and put in Gary Craig, and then put in EFT, and it'll come up with 1,000 different videos of him showing how to do the tapping.
Okay.
And then you can learn from him, the master.
Yes. Yes. And even though it seems silly and you kind of have to have privacy to do it, you know, like go in your room or something, but just do it for a while and tell me that it doesn't work, because I'm having great results. It's wonderful in when you're in relationship with people and they're starting to get on your nerves, go in and tap, and then you go, oh, everything is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the other thing I really like is CBD oil.
Oh, yes.
You know, that calms me down too, especially like to sleep.
Right.
So it's not, it doesn't have,
there's no THC
marijuana or anything in it. It's just, yeah. You know, I don't, can you get that in, is that yeah. legal for you in?
Yeah, you can buy it over here.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can buy it here and you can buy, it's legal. Pot is actually legal now here in California and Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, stores all over the place. You can go get the candy and whatever you want, but don't even think too much about it. But I have to say that it doesn't make you feel high or anything. It just kind of calms you down, gives you a little sense of well-being.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's placebo or whatever, but I still do whatever I have to do to take care of my own feelings, because I can't expect anybody else to take care of them for me. That's one of the things I've learned in recovery, is that I can't expect someone else to carry the weight of my feelings.
Right.
What I have to go within myself and go, okay, different parts of myself, what is it that you need? Sometimes I just need to halt. Have you ever heard the halt? Am I hungry? That's number one. Am I hungry? Because sometimes you don't even know you're hungry, right?
Yeah.
Am I hungry? Am I halt? H-A. Am I angry? If I'm angry, go take a walk, get some exercise. Am I lonely? Make a telephone call, you know, do something to reach out. And am I tired? Because when you are an addict, you know, a personality, you never know when you're tired. You never know when you're hungry. You really don't know when you're lonely.
Absolutely, because you're not tuning in.
Yeah, you're not tuning in.
Yeah.
So whatever I have to do to tune in and go, okay, what is it that I need right now? You know, then meet those needs. Don't act out.
Yeah.
Don't go shopping and spend a bunch of money on your credit card. Don't get involved in a negative relationship because you think that's going to fix you. Or don't drink and because you think that that's going to be the answer. Don't go stuff yourself on ice cream. What is the need beyond that that you really need? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you lonely? Are you angry? And take care of your own inner child.
And I think...
Be caring of yourself.
Yeah. And I think that if you're not sure... Because some people quite often say, well, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So, you know, what is it I need right now? And if the answer comes up and says, well, I don't know. Well, it's important for you to hear that there is part of you that knows what the answer is. So I say to my clients, well, I want you to guess what the answer is, because your unconscious mind knows. Mm-hmm. So you need to ask yourself again, what is it that I need here? And it's the first answer that comes into your head is the correct answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, my therapist did that to me too. The same thing you said. She said, what is it that you want? And I said, I don't know. And then I started saying, blah, 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 blah. She goes, no, what do you want? Because I would say, well, you know, Jean wants, and my husband, my dad, I knew what everybody else wanted and I could meet their needs, but she says, I want you to think about it and come back. And so I came back and I said, I want my education. I had no idea. I didn't know that I won my, why would I need education? I had everything.
Yeah. I love that.
I want to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you went on and did it.
My God, because I love my inner children. I learned to love my little being, who I really am.
Yeah.
And I know that they loved me too. There's no doubt they loved me. They just didn't know how to parent. They had their own. They were so needy themselves, you know, all of them. Plus you put the Maybelline thing on it. And now it makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Because you always have to show up and be the life of the party. You always have to. My dad, the party didn't start till my dad walked in. He was so handsome, dressed so great. He had the funniest personality ever. You know, and it's like when he got older, he didn't even want to go out and be with people anymore because it was just so hard keeping up that level of charisma.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it too, because I'm starting to just want to go rent that little condo in Arizona near my daughter.
Yeah.
And because I found out that I didn't need all that stuff that I had, that what I really need right now is just to be Nana. Yeah. I just need to have my boys love me and for them to know me and for me to be able to maybe instill some of the wisdom that I've learned into them before I go.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what is important at this point.
Yeah. If you hadn't have gone through what you went through, who knows where you would? You certainly wouldn't be sitting here today, would you?
Oh God, I'm sure I would just look terrible. I'm sure I would be searching for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
You know, you see older women in bars, you know, or it's just not attractive at a certain point, you know, keeping up that eternal youth.
That facade.
The facade of what advertising, by the way, convinces us that we need to do.
Yeah. That's a whole nother avenue, isn't it? The advertising.
Yep. Yep. So it is a scary journey to decide that you want to get well because you don't know what's on the other side of the bridge, right? I mean, you're taking a risk and you're afraid you're going to lose everything, which I did. I lost the husband. I lost the house, burned down. My grandmother, when that happened to her, fortune hunters took terrible advantage of her estate. And so all a great deal of money that the family was supposed to get from her didn't happen. So everything was taken away from me. And that was the gift. Yeah. Who would have thought that I had to lose everything to gain everything inside?
Yeah.
And have real confidence, not cocky, charismatic, but, you know, real confidence. I can sit now and be quiet. I don't have to be the life of the party because I'm very comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
That's...
I love that. I'm comfortable with myself.
So comfortable, just really comfortable. If you want to talk to me, fine, but I don't need to go out and try to get all your attention. How fabulous I am. I've already been fabulous. I don't have to keep being fabulous.
But you still are fabulous in your own right. The
in
true
my own
you.
Right, as Nana. Fabulous. I'm a great, fabulous. Wonderful Nana.
Yes. Yes.
And a mom. And I am a great role model for my daughter.
Yeah.
And that is if I died tomorrow, if I could just know that my daughter turned out so normal. She never was a rock star. I mean, you know what I mean? A partier like that. She always was. So I must have done something right raising her once my husband left me and I got into 12-step programs because she grew up in 12-step programs. She's in 12-step. She's in Al-Anon herself right now. But, that's all I can say to me is that if you have an issue, do what I did with that book, Codependent No More. Run, don't walk to your nearest 12-step program or get into a therapy group or get a therapist or get somebody who is going to love you and bring out that part of you that has just never been developed.
Yeah.
And fall in love with yourself and, you know, realize how fabulous you really are and inside.
Yeah. Because they can do it.
Okay. I love this. President Kennedy went to some astronaut person back in the 60s and said, do you think that we could ever make it to the moon and back? And the guy said, yes, if you have the will to do it. Isn't that just the greatest?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Anyone can do it if you have the will to do it.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, I was given the will. And I think if you ask, if you pray, if you seek, if you really want to recover, then you will have the will to do it. We went to the moon and back.
Absolutely. So tell us about your new book and where you are now.
Okay. The first book, The Maybelline Story, was basically about the birth of the Maybelline company in 1915. It's the oldest and first eye makeup in the marketplace. And it goes through the whole ups and downs of World War I, World War II, the depression, you know, everything that the Maybelline company rode those waves, and still 106 years later is still a thriving number one cosmetic company in the world. The family sold the company after 50 years. We sold it, the family sold it, my great uncle sold it in 1967, which has been part of the book about what it was like when we inherited all that money, which is pretty much what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
And then it ends with my grandmother's, who started off as a young girl in the Maybelline story when she married my grandfather, who was the brother of the founder, her story up to her terrible ending. It pretty much shows that Nana died of a lethal dose of vanity. And everyone who's read the book goes, well, wait a minute. What happened next? You can't just leave us. What happened to all the people? What happened? Because the book really basically ends at my fire, my house burning down, 1993. Yeah. So the second book, my agent said, you need to tell your life story. You know, so it is my story growing up in the family from my point of view, and then takes you all the way through everybody's, all the different people that you knew and loved in the first story. You will go to the end of their lives. And then my coming out of all of the facade of the Maybelline image and becoming myself and realizing what the most important thing in life really was to me. And even though it was a fun ride, all those, it's a quite a story, really the most wonderful thing is having, when the boys were little, have them run up to me and grab my, and Nana, Nana.
Aww.
You know, that is, that was, the feeling of that was so much more satisfying, gratifying than a new car.
Yeah.
And I think that the second book is even going to be better than the first.
Yeah. And that's due to come out in 2022.
We're hoping that it'll come out. I've already written the book. It's 1,000 pages. So we have to edit that way down.
Yeah.
The first book was 1,000 pages. We had to edit it down to 400. So there's a lot then that I could take and put in the second. But we will have to edit that down. And oh, there's my book.
And I got the book yesterday.
Oh, you got the book. Fabulous. Okay, okay, okay.
So I haven't, obviously haven't read it yet. I've read it a few pages.
Right. But you can let me know what you think of it. I would just really love your opinion.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so they've got to edit it down and then.
Yes.
And then
they wanted to start the promotional of it around September, October, the same thing as the History Channel that has possibility of doing a story on the Maybelline history too. So we'll see if that's really going to happen. But it could be that at this late stage of my life, that all these amazing things could come to fruition, but I had to live to be in my 70s to stay clean, sober, and not create any more wreckage, and do all the things that I do, and trust that the best is yet to come, and believe that age is just a number, and that it could be that all of the beautiful flower opens at this point. Yeah. And here's the interesting thing. Had this happened, all of this stuff to me, when I was in my 30s, 40s, nobody would be interested in what I had to say. I'm just another pretty face. But you get into your 70s and you still are holding it together. And you're still, you know, looking healthy and strong. And people then go, well, wait a minute. How did you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I am more valuable at this age of my life than I was in my 30s and 40s when everyone was beautiful.
Yeah.
Everybody knew everything, didn't we? I mean,
yeah. Absolutely.
Now you have to go through the hard knocks of life to really come out with a degree in wisdom.
Yeah. A degree in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. That's what we all need to strive for, is a degree in wisdom.
I think so. And you can't let age stop. You can't go, oh, well, I'm 60 now. I can't do it. I was 63 when the book came out.
Yeah.
I went all over publicity, unbelievable luncheons all over the 100 people. I was a speaker all over the place traveling. And I mean, I never looked better, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Yeah, age cannot stop you. No excuse should stop you from fulfilling what it is that you discover when you are finally healthy and clean, because the gift is going to be there. It will reveal itself, and then it's up to you to have the will to go and make it happen. In the program, it's called 12-stepping.
But it may even reveal itself in order for you to be able to take that first step.
That's right.
To recovery.
Yes. You know, in the 12 steps, the first word is we. It's not I. Yeah. We admitted that we were powerless over food.
Yeah.
It wasn't I admitted I'm powerless. No, you take the step with somebody that you trust, and then you take that first step. I just love that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Quite a journey. I wouldn't trade it for anything, but boy, it's been, I've had a tough taskmaster in pushing me to be everything I could be before I have to leave here.
Wow. And you've got your book coming out.
I know. That is pretty exciting at this point. Yes, yes. And your book too. And I am going to get your book. I haven't had a chance to go on Amazon yet, but I cannot wait to read Bulimia Sucks.
That's it. Bulimia sucks, because it does.
Bulimia sucks.
And I've got the workbook coming out soon to go with that book.
Oh, I love workbooks. Love, love, love them.
Yeah. And there's extra in there as well. Extra different techniques and things. And then, so I've just come out with the audiobook as well, or just coming out with the audiobook, which has been an entertaining journey.
Yes, I would love to do that. I might do that myself with the second one. Someone else did my first one.
Yeah. But
the second one, maybe I will trust my voice is good enough to do it. You know.
You've got a beautiful voice, I think.
Thank you.
I think you'll do an amazing job.
Isn't it amazing to think that all that could happen? I'm sort of like Grandma Moses. All of a sudden, all this fabulous stuff starts happening. Pretty soon, I'm in my 80s. It gets better.
Yay, we love it. We love it.
That's the kind of role model we need, by the way. We don't need another pretty face telling us everything. Yeah. We need people who have really gone through it and show us how they got through it.
Yeah. And what other people can learn from us.
We're role models.
Role models to be able to help themselves. Which is what you've done here today.
Yes, that's amazing how you found me.
Yeah.
Right? On Twitter?
Yes.
So, I mean, think of that. We would never have found each other years ago. We had to wait till Twitter came out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we finish?
I've certainly enjoyed this, and I feel very inspired right now just by your connecting. You're very good at your feedback, listening to everything I said, and then asked me pertinent questions that brought me into feelings. Like I said, I feel sad right now. And there's sadness and anger. Is this right? Grief and anger are the same. Opposite sides of the same coin. So if I'm angry and I can't get to my feelings, there's grief. There's still some sadness I need to work on. So when you were working with me today, it brought up, it was childhood feelings. I felt sad.
Yeah.
And I know that when I can just feel the feelings, that they will lift. And with it will go a little more anger that I might have had, a little more resentment, a little more reason for me thinking that I need to go and fill the void. You helped me fill the void a little more. So I really thank you and appreciate you as a therapist. I'm so lucky I got to have this hour with you.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
It's true. You're not just a podcaster. You do a therapy session.
Well, I suppose I'm not doing it on purpose. I suppose it's I've done it for a long time, so I'm trained to sort of have the person tune into, you know, what they truly feel.
You tune into my inner child.
Yeah.
You talk to her and I felt safe.
Yeah. And it's interesting you said that, you know, we were talking about when you were younger and you had those same feelings now that you had when you were younger, that they came up and they came out. And
lonely.
So it's that lonely feeling.
I felt sad and lonely.
Have you still got that feeling now?
But I just feel so sad for what she had to go through. Me, when I was little, I just felt so sad that she had to go through that. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I love her. Her little fat self with freckles and red hair. You can see why I was such an embarrassment.
But what I think you should do now is I think that you should go away and spend some time tapping on that sadness.
Yes.
To be able to reduce it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just there. And it's funny, it's in my stomach and I'm going to go eat when I get done here and I'm going to make a fabulous smoothie with all kinds of supplements and nutrition and everything in it. And that will fill me up.
Yes.
And then I know that I'm going to have a good, happy day.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I already feel happy. You know, it's just allowing yourself to feel the feelings.
Yes.
You know, I allowed myself to feel the sadness with you.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, you mm-hmm. know, because when you're going through an eating disorder, you are just, you're so detached from those feelings. So, you know, so that's really important that you said that, because that's a real key. It's a tuning into a feeling or feelings and allowing yourself to feel those feelings. And by doing that, then you can begin to let them go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that I had a therapist once that said, stay in the saddle. You know, if you're having a feeling, ride it out.
Yeah.
You know, it may take an hour. It may take 2 days. Stay with it. And then until it finally lifts. And then she would say, go into the bear cave with the feeling. And, you know, like, and it'll lift. And then when it's finally lifted, you come out. And when you come out, then you have grown. You have developed a little bit more recovery.
Yeah.
But, you know, in other words, don't stop the feeling. Don't block the feeling.
Yeah.
You've got to ride it out, because it'll take you deeper. That one feeling may take me to a spot I never thought that I was going to go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where maybe there are tears and I had to cry.
Yeah.
And then once you had that cry, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I feel good now.
Yeah. And then you feel that relief once you've let it go.
My sponsor once said, doing recovery work is harder than working in a coal mine. It's work.
Yeah.
But it's painful. Stuff comes up you don't want to deal with. That's why you need the support. You can't do it alone. You just can't sit there. You're going to block it. You're going to go eat some ice cream. You're going to do something to get out of it, unless you can make that phone call.
Yeah. But it's worth it.
Takes a lifetime. I've been doing this recovery since Georgia. For over 30 years, you know, since I went to my first Al-Anon meeting. 1991, 30 years, I guess.
Yeah.
My Al-Anon birthday is May 9th. So I'll turn 30 May 9th.
Wow.
And they say when you come into the program, any 12-step program, eating disorders or whatever, that you are the age that you were when you started the addiction.
Right.
So now I'm 30 because I have been clean, sober, eating good for 30 years. So I'm like a 30-year-old inside. That's why I feel like here in my 70s, I have a whole future ahead of me. I'm going to write another book. I'm going to possibly make it into a movie. Everything is wide open because I'm just so happy inside.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that I've been able to have something, you know, that will resonate with other people.
Yeah.
Who are on their path.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many different avenues that people hear that they can relate to. So many.
I think
from, feeling unlovable to the perfection, to the rejection, and there were so many other areas that you spoke about that people can relate to. And, from the rock bottom where you were and how you have gradually built yourself up and brought yourself out mm-hmm. from the depths.
Mm-hmm. From the muck.
Yeah.
The muck.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for joining
us. Oh, my pleasure. It's just been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So that's all for today's episode of Bulimia Sucks. And thank you for joining Sherry and I here, and for Sherry for sharing your story, your amazing journey. Join us again on the next episode of Bulimia Sucks, and make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes so you never miss an episode. And plus, as we said earlier, check out my book, Bulimia Sucks, which is on Amazon. And before we go, let us know what you think about the podcast by sharing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iTunes or Apple iTunes. And make sure you come and join our Facebook group, Bulimia Sucks, where it's great to connect with other people. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you in the next episode.
Bulimia Sucks, but you don't. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon.